Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, your host of the We Are Women podcast. And I've got a little bit different today. I'm actually recording the podcast as well, like a video recording. So instead of just being, you know, without makeup and very casually dressed because nobody gets to see me, I've put some lippy on and I think I'm looking pretty good. So we'll see what happens. Eventually, it'll be up on YouTube as well once this podcast is launched. Now, talking about launching a podcast, I have got a lady that has launched 1,000 ships or 1,000 businesses or help them certainly brand up. With me today is Lauren Clement. Now, at 8 years old, Lauren was told that she had word blindness and would never be able to read or write properly. Yet she went from to become a five-time best-selling author and international Stevie Award-winning neuro-branding expert. That was using her dyslexia disability as her greatest asset, and it was to understand how the brain sees brands. Now, Lauren has over 25 years in marketing communications arena, working within world-leading advertising agencies such as Saatchi & Saatchi, Clemenger, BBDO, Ogilvy, Mather, and Greywell White. Now, there's a few brands you obviously can recognize there. That's the big stuff from around the world. And even owning her own advertising agency. And she was also the brand manager for AXA, delivering the International World Rugby Sevens tournament. And as you'll get to hear, Lauren is a Kiwi, so I can imagine that that was possibly something she enjoyed doing, as a Kiwis tend to be huge rugby fans. Now, Lauren now owns the award-winning personal branding consultancy, Ultimate Business Propeller, and she's sharing insights into how the consumer mind works, providing clarity and direction needed to package and stand out personal brands within hundreds of entrepreneurs around the globe. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to stand out. Welcome, Lauren. I'm so glad to be able to speak with you today.
It's awesome to be here, Janine. I've listened to your podcast and I'm so pleased that I can be a guest with you.
Thank you for that. We've met a few times sort of around the traps a little bit and had a couple of quick conversations, but I'm going to learn more about you today than I have over the last couple of years, I'm sure. So, look, I have to touch on the International Rugby World Sevens tournament and being the brand manager for that. I bet you that wasn't fun.
Oh, that was absolute standout probably in my career, was the opportunity to lead the New Zealand Sevens boys out onto the pitch at Wellington Stadium when it probably was at the height of its popularity. It was three full-on days where everybody went, the event sold out in minutes, and it was just a really amazing event. But I tell you what, I'll never forget that feeling leading that team out and, you know, 30,000 people cheering at you. Yet the hair does raise on the back of your neck when you are in those sorts of positions. And that's only happened to me probably three times in my lifetime. And it's something I'll never forget.
Now, that would have been so much fun. For the international listeners, the Australian and New Zealanders have a fair bit of competition amongst their rugby and a whole lot of sports. I will admit that New Zealanders are the better rugby players, but then is going to confuse the international listeners, the Australians.
Janine, overnight news from the weekend just gone. I mean, this podcast we listen to at other times, but the Australian girls won the Rugby World Sevens unbeaten. They scored 213 unanswered points. So the Aussie girls are pretty good.
I did hear they win. Actually, the men won as
the
well.
The men did good as well. Absolutely. So, but they're all doing very, very well. So, but rugby is, it was very nice to spend some time with some very buff boys. I've got to be honest with you. That was one of the perks of the job, which was awesome.
I know. When you're in this sort of industry, you've got to take a hit every so often, don't you? You know,
take one for the girls. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, talking about branding, that now you're working a lot more with smaller businesses and solopreneurs. What's your belief around, you know, how they should brand and what is their purpose and how they get the information
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Well, yes, you're right. I specifically work with people who sell services. So they're basically, the biggest problem I see is they really, people who sell services have a big problem differentiating themselves from the next accountant or the next business coach or personal trainer or real estate agent. And that's the big struggle. There's a low barrier to entry in the service industry because you don't need to have a big factory or manufacture product or have a retail store with a lease and have, you know, product to sell and all these sorts of things you need to have if you have a retail or a wholesale or a manufacturing business. It's a lot easier to become a photographer, for example. And I know there might be some photographers who are listening who will get this, you know, the women who decide they're going to become a photographer using their iPhone to take photos of their next door neighbor's babies and dogs and call themselves a photographer. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. It's a very disruptive place, and people can set themselves up in the services-based industry very, very easily. And it does annoy people who've been experienced or been in the business for many years to see the latest, you know, young chick on the block open up the yoga salon across the road or yoga studio, and she's got no experience, but she's got a million people coming because she's just very good on Instagram. You know, that's the world we live in at the moment. And the interesting thing is, I truly believe that everybody has unique gifts and talents that they need to share with the world, and the world needs what you have. But a lot of people tend to convince themselves that they're not good enough to put themselves out there on the world stage or even on the local stage or even on jumping on and doing things like Facebook Lives or videos or podcasts like we're doing today. They have that issue with not believing that they're good enough to do that. And really, the only person you need to convince that you're good enough to be seen as the expert and get yourself out there is yourself. So,
yeah, I totally agree with that. And part of what you were saying then too is that, you know, if the yoga studio that's opening up across the road is popular because it's got a young person, it's finding that, you mentioned the word, that uniqueness. Mm. So even the person that's been in business for quite a while, you've got to look at what the other people are doing to make them successful and not necessarily copy them, do you? But you have to find what makes you unique and then focus on that. Is that how, that's what you're working
on? Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with you 100%. And that's probably the trap that a lot of people fall into. They look at other people on Facebook or on Snapchat or wherever, and they compare themselves far too much with other people. And in reality, you have your own unique DNA. You've got your own personal brand. And as long as you're very, very clear on what you want to be known for in the marketplace, how you want to make people feel, and exactly who your audience is, who are the people you really love working with, then you're going to be fine. Just package that and go for it.
Yeah, niching it down. Now, what got you into this? What, I mean, it's not something that necessarily, I mean, it is for the people, you know, going through university now going, right, I'm getting into branding. But was it something that when you went through university or school that you went, okay, this is what I want to do? Or is it, where did you get started?
Well, it's funny, personal branding's really only been around probably for the last 5 to 10 years. It's not it's relatively new to the marketplace. I've known of it for that long because I'm in the branding industry. But in terms of branding in general, I always loved drawing. I growing up and having dyslexia meant that I did get pushed into reading books and eventually loved reading. But I loved drawing and painting and anything creative. My spelling and my maths wasn't that flash, but I could create quite happily. So I became a graphic designer, and I worked in advertising agencies straight out of university, and I ended up working all over the world for amazing agencies, which was really, really awesome. But the personal branding side of things really came about when I moved from New Zealand to Australia about 8 years ago. And I moved to a part of Australia where there's a lot of professional service-based businesses. The Gold Coast of Australia is full of people who move here because of the lifestyle and then figure out, what on earth am I going to do to make a living so I can stay here?
That's a good idea though, isn't it?
You know, it is. And it's a bit
be anywhere doing that, the Gold Coast is the place to be.
Absolutely. And in reality, it is a bit of a trend worldwide as well, that people are starting to get to the point where they're going, actually, you know, I want to do something I enjoy for a living rather than having to have the job I hate and sitting there for 40 years and retiring on nothing. So people are tending to decide, I want to become a personal trainer, or I want to become a business coach or a psychologist or whatever it is in order to help people. So I saw this huge growing part of the industry, the services-based industry, grows by about 70% every year. But at the same time, I saw a massive increase in the different marketing channels and all the different ways that you could reach your clients and your prospects. Years ago, when I worked in advertising, there was TV, radio, print media, and the internet didn't even really exist. I know the web team moved in to the fourth floor of Saatchi's, and we didn't even know who these guys were or what they did, except for the fact they spent a lot of time sitting behind computers. So it was easier back then. It was more expensive. Way more expensive. I mean, to get onto TV, you'd need a big budget. Whereas now you can create your own YouTube channel and get started creating amazing content and creating an amazing following for next to nothing. So it's a lot more available, I guess, and to reach people is a lot easier. But there are just so many different ways to get yourself out there that it is very, very confusing.
Yeah, it certainly is. And that's what people, you know, they get a little bit of overwhelm with that as well. And yes, of course, this is going on a YouTube channel as well, now that we've got a video of it and not just an audio as well. Just had to get that in a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. So Janine, I grew up in the country. I grew up on the bush in New Zealand. And my dad used to run a YMCA camp right on the footsteps of the Hunua Ranges, which is a big forestry area with dams and all sorts of things, protected forest and so on. And it was about an hour's drive from Auckland. So people would come out on the weekend with their chili bin and their jandals. There goes for some Kiwi phrases.
Can I translate that
into Esky and thongs? Absolutely.
That's it.
You're from the States.
Unless you're American and then they're not thongs.
No. And in fact, if you're going to the bush in America, you just drive the SUV anyway. You don't need to carry anything with you. So you're all good.
Yeah.
So they'd go up in the bush for a walk and they would get lost very quickly. Now, the bush in New Zealand is really quite different to the bush in Australia. I mean, there's stuff in Australia that'll kill you, but it's quite sparse. You can sort of find your way through. In New Zealand, it's very, very dense bush and you can be meters away from the path and still get lost.
Right.
So to me, I mean, we were told exactly how to look after yourself in the bush and we learnt orienteering. We had maps and compasses and all sorts of things as we were growing up, and we would help to go and rescue people and all that sort of thing. But the thing that struck me when I looked at all these service providers is it's a little bit like being lost in the bush. There's all these things being thrown at you. You need to have a website. You need to be podcasting. You should be on Snapchat. You need to be on Twitter 60 times a day. You need to be on LinkedIn. Why aren't you speaking? When have you got your best-selling book coming out? You know, it's just overwhelming and confusing and really, really quite debilitating, I think. And people tend to either get stuck in analysis paralysis and don't do anything, or they do what I call WOFTAM marketing, WOFTAM, which I don't know if you've heard of before, Janine.
No, I read it on your notes and I went, I haven't heard of that. So can you please explain to the listeners, Lauren?
What WOFTAM? Now, this is a family show, so I'm not going to swear. You can swear if you want to in this, if you really want to. If you've been there, you might want to. WOFTAM marketing stands for waste of flipping time and money. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw most professional service providers doing. They were out there trying everything, and yet their message wasn't unique. There was nothing in their marketing that told me why I should even think about talking to you. There was no engagement. There was no connection with my WIFM, my what's in it for me if I talk to you. There was just nothing there. You just looked like everybody else. And you're either discounting or just trying to be desperate, I guess, without trying to be desperate. You actually ended up being desperate because you really had been told you had to do all this stuff without first getting to grips with what is my brand.
Yeah.
And I think the power of having a really clear personal brand is that eventually it becomes instinctive and you just know exactly what sort of marketing is going to work for your brand. And hey, voila, actually it gives you results. So,
And that's what we all want is that results, is it? I know one of the things, so I met someone the other day and I said who I was and they said, oh, I know you. I've seen you in different places on social media. I've gone, yes, it's working. And they knew what I did, which was even more important.
Awesome. Now, Janine, have you ever been in a situation when someone's looked at you, maybe networking or something, and said to you, I recognize you. I've seen you somewhere before. Have you ever had that?
Absolutely, many times, and they're trying to figure it out.
You know what to say when somebody asks you that, don't you?
No, don't tell us.
The words you've got, and I dare anybody who's listening to do this. Next time somebody says to you, I recognise you, you look really familiar, you must answer them with, do you watch much porn? Because it makes – it just breaks the ice, and it's very, very funny when it happens. So yeah,
well, there's a
challenge for you.
Oh, I'd be happy to use it. It goes with my personality, that's for sure.
I once did that. I was in Parliament House once, and for a split second my brain said to me, Lauren, you're in Parliament House. You really shouldn't be saying these things. And I did it anyway, and it was very, very funny. So, yes, do watch much porn. It's always a bit of fun.
That's fun. I really like that. And people would just then either break down laughing or walk away quickly.
We're going to get some sort of result for sure.
Absolutely.
Definitely. But the interesting thing is, if I go back to those days when we had tools to help us get through the bush, we had a map and a compass. And I use this now when I explain personal branding to people is, look, a map on its own is particularly useless. All it tells you is where stuff is. If you're lost and you don't know where you are, having a marketing action plan or having your marketing set up, it's not going to help you because you don't know where you are on that map. Whereas if you have a compass, it's also particularly useless on its own because all a compass tells you is north. But if you, again, don't know what your north is, where you are, where everybody is out on the rest of the map in front of you, who your clients are, all that sort of thing, a compass on its own is also hopeless. So a compass to me is your brand. It keeps you on your true north. And it's important, absolutely vital you have that. And a map's your marketing action plan. It shows you here's where your audience is, here's the channels they're listening to, here's the messages that we know are going to engage with them. If you can put those two things together, a really clear personal brand, knowing exactly where you want to be going and who you want to be known for, what you want to be known for, who you want to attract, all those sorts of things, and a plan as to how I'm going to reach them, man, that makes things go really fast.
Yeah. Look, I'm a big sort of, I mean, every time I talk about anything to do with business is have a plan, you know, because you're just wasting a lot of time if you're not sure where you want to go and as you said, finding your true north. And just something which I'm going to talk about a little bit more on that and ask you some more questions, but something that's just popped up is when I talk to people, because mine's, you know, what I do touches a little bit on what you do with the sales coaching, and you ask people who their niche is and they go, everyone. I just cringe. I wait for it, you know, and I cringe because it's just they try and be helpful to everything, everybody, and think that their product and their service suits everybody. And anyone could buy it, but that's not who they want to sell it to. And that would be the branding thing, is it? Who they're getting their message to.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lovely saying in New Zealand, you can't help every Mary in the dairy.
Okay.
And that's the major thing is I guess it stems from the fact that if you aren't 100% clear on what you want to be known as in the marketplace, then you do have that I can help anyone type thing. And probably, as you say, probably you can, but you've got to work out the difference between need and want. So there's a lot of the time the people say to me, well, all I want, Lauren, is I just want to quickly convert prospects into clients because it's taking too long. I'm out there networking, I'm marketing, and I've got lots of people following me, but nobody's converting into a paying client, which I guess, like you say, is your key area with sales and things and teaching people how to do that. And from the neurobranding point of view, you've got to understand that the human brain buys on emotion. It doesn't buy on fact. So you could be out there telling people that you're fantastic, that you've got these qualifications, you've been around for years and this, that, and the other. The human brain doesn't buy on fact. It buys on emotion, and then it'll clarify the fact that it's bought and make itself feel good by, you know, oh, it was on sale or whatever. Oh, they're really good. It'll use fact to support the decision. But there's a chemical that goes through your brain called dopamine that drives desire, and it changes needs into wants. And if you can create a brand that drives the dopamine desire for what you've got, you'll have a much quicker and much easier road to convert people from just being interested to actually saying, yes, please, when do we get started?
Yeah. And it's still tapping into that specifically, you've got something to offer that individual person, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And they've got to see that benefit for them.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people talk about it at the moment that you've got to get lots of great content out there. Just make great content and you'll be fine. Well, if content's king, I think engagement is the queen of hearts. Because yes. It's all very well to put stuff out there, but we've got an opportunity today with the internet and the way things work that it's a two-way street, that you can actually engage people. And if you can figure out exactly who it is you want to help and how they're feeling and what time of the day or time of the month or year or whatever it is that they most feel that pain, if you can explain their pain better than they can, they will trust you to know how to help them.
Yeah, that's a good line, explain their pain better than they can. I really like that because that's the critical factor. People, you know, I say it all the time, the benefits, features tell and benefits sell, but that explaining that pain is better than they can.
Absolutely. And it's a really cool way to figure that out too, Janine. It's something I call transformational marketing, and it's a really cool way of thinking about how does your brand transform people? What's the real value that you give that changes people's lives? And again, it's reminding people that the human brain doesn't think in words. So when you're putting content out there, it's not about the words that you use. It's about the picture that you paint in their minds of the transformation that's going to happen. Because if you can drive that dopamine desire by painting a picture of the outcome, it's going to really help you to just create really engaging, extraordinarily interesting content that people want to engage with, which is more important. And I can prove that to you actually, Janine, that the human brain thinks in pictures, doesn't think in words. Would you like to have a crack at that?
Look, let's go with that. I'm keen.
It's all right. It's got nothing to do with porn. You'll be safe.
Right. Okay.
So I'm going to give you two words to concentrate on and just let your brain decide to do what it does. It'll do it anyway. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask you some questions about those words. Okay.
Sure.
Yep. Cool. So everybody listening can do the same thing, whether you're driving or walking or whatever. Just listen to these two words and let your brain do its thing and I'll ask you some questions. The two words I'd like you to think about are bacon and eggs. Mm-hmm. So probably in your brain, within a split second, your brain has painted a picture of something. So Janine, what did you see?
Well, if we have bacon and eggs, it's that the family comes around for a breakfast, a weekend breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I saw the barbecue and I saw the family sitting around the table.
Awesome. So it certainly didn't paint the words bacon and eggs. Some people see a pig and a chicken. I'm not a psychoanalyst, so I'm not quite sure what that problem is. But yes, some people just see a plate with bacon and eggs cooked on it, whether they're scrambled or fried. I didn't tell you anything. I didn't tell you your family was coming round.
No.
I didn't tell you they were cooked. I didn't ask you to tell me where they originally came from. Your brain did that, and it did it in split seconds. You might have even had a feeling of happiness that you were with your family. You might have smelt the bacon or, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I went through all of that, saw it first, smelt it, and then we're all sitting around the table and it's a feeling of, you know, that joy and the grandies, you know, eating the eggs, the whole thing just very quickly, you know.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So your brain works very, very quickly to paint a picture of the outcome, and I just gave you those two words. So there's a real message for people if you're thinking about your personal brand is how can you paint a picture in the mind of your ideal client of what their life's going to be like once they've used your services? And if you can think about that and you can start to build that into your brand, so use those images on your website and your collateral, talk about it in your brand story, infuse it into your brand and the colors that you use, even the brand name you have, you know, the logos and icons and photographs you use, think about how you can paint that picture of that transformation because it will sell to your prospect's brain far quicker than you trying to explain it.
Yeah, that and it is. It's instantaneous too. You know, that's it's very powerful. Yeah, And is it just a visual person can do that easily and more quickly? And I know because if somebody's quite, say, auditory digital and they're thinking and rationalizing, they might be the people that think about the pig and the chicken. Then,
Maybe. I need to look into that a bit more in depth, actually, as to why certain people see a pig and a chicken. It probably is to do with their personality style. I know there's only 4 personality styles in terms of your branding communication. That's another topic entirely. Mm. But you're right. Some are driven by data and facts. Others are driven by security and safety and guarantees. Others are driven by fun and enjoyment and social atmosphere. And others are driven by results. So I guess it would depend on their personality style as to how they see that. But regardless, they're still painting a picture.
You are.
They're still figuring out in their brain within milliseconds. And if you don't, see, this is the thing. If you just talk about your services and how you help people, but you don't paint a picture for them, that leaves it up to their brain to do it. And if you're happy that, okay, great, I'll let my prospects paint their own picture, fine. Mm-hmm. But if you want to somehow drive that dopamine desire so that they actually engage and they want to know more about you and what you can do for them, if you can paint that picture in a way that makes them start to think, you know what, this is something I should be doing, I really want that outcome, it's going to just help you so much. It'll just be so much easier to get your brand message across.
Yes. No, it is. It's extremely powerful. I'm just thinking about what I do, and I think I tend to do that a lot anyway, but I'm going to make sure that I'm doing that all of the time now, because it's looking for what they want. So I know I put something up today that if people wanting to be a professional speaker, then, you know, it's the time that they actually got in front of audiences and, you know, have that feeling of being able to share their message, you know. So yeah. No, that is extremely powerful. And just something that you mentioned then, you know, the 4 reasons that through the people, did you say buying or you said the 4 reasons?
Oh, there's four different personal communication styles that I tend to. Owls, eagles, peacocks and doves.
Love that. I'm just writing an online module at the moment, and it includes that information. I just think it's so cool. It's so easy to visualize. Yes. You can understand those personalities. Now, you mentioned about the people wanting different reasons, whether it's for data or security or for fun or results. I noticed that Suncorp Bank in Queensland is advertising 2 different markets with each one. I picked it up not that long ago, and they talk about it, different ones through different ads. And I'm going, that is so clever, because it is exactly what people are looking for, because it's different things. Some people just want to spend money, and others want to make sure that they've got that security there. And it's a different market, but they've got it all packaged very nicely.
And you could sell exactly the same service or exactly the same product in 4 different ways to make sure you're communicating and engaging with your ideal client's brains.
Yeah. So the you mentioned, you know, the 4 personality types with the eagles, doves, peacocks and
owls.
Owls as well. Yeah. Did you want to explain a little bit more?
There's an online quiz that people can do. I'm happy to send you a link, Janine, so you can send it out. It's really simple, just answer a few questions to see what you are. But once you've figured out what you are, and in reality, if I am sitting and having to sign and write my last will and testament, I am going to be an owl because I'm going to want to dot the I's and cross the T's. And all of us do tend to slip into different things depending on what we're doing. But there's one more dominant style that you tend to have as your more natural communication style and that you like being in all the time. So, for example, I'm quite definitely – I'm Eddie the Eagle. I'm very driven
by results.
Well,
that's me.
don't talk to me about the weather or gossip, or just get to the point so I can get on and do it. That's, you know, the way that I communicate, and I prefer it that way. Tell me how to do it and what I need to do to get there, and give me the facts later. Percy Peacock is very much a social animal. He's much more about, you know, who's going to be there. How much fun is it going to be? Is there a team? You know, what interaction will there be? And they hate doing the same thing over and over and over again. So talking to them about things being new and fresh and exciting is really important. Whereas the good old Owls, Oliver Owl, he is much more concerned that you get your facts straight before you do anything. Look before you leap. Make sure you've checked it three times. Triple check it before you go there. I tend to scare owls a little bit because I'm a little bit frivolous and I just go and take action and see what happens. Whereas they would rather make sure they've got a Gantt chart and a plan and a process before they even do anything.
No wonder I like you, Lauren. We're so much alike.
And, of course, I don't get on particularly well with owls who tend to hold me back because they're taking forever and making them
I know.
And then last of all is lovely darling dove, who just wants to make sure that everybody's happy. They very much want to take care of everybody. They don't like any sort of upheaval. They like everybody to be cared for. You know, if there's going to be some sort of event happening or a product, is it safe to use on children? Has it been tested on animals? You know, what's going to happen with the wrapper? Can I recycle that? And if we're going to do anything, can we make sure that everybody's aware of what's going to happen before it happens?
So recycle the wrapper. I love that.
So like I say, at different stages in your life and at different times, you will be either of those. Because obviously we've got all four. But if you can identify the main one that you are, and that makes a lot of sense as to who you more naturally attract and who you work with best, but then have a look at the different four types and figure out, A, who's most likely to just naturally get along with you in terms of your brand, but also look at how, and as you're talking about Suncorp, how can you engage with all four types? So you could be selling exactly the same service. So, for example, a photographer, if he's marketing to an eagle, might be, look, get your headshot done in half a day. You can use it on all these different platforms. It only costs X amount of money. Bring two sets of clothing along and be there at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That would be perfect for an eagle. If it was an owl, they would want to know, well, no, how long have you been in business for? What sort of camera do you use? Will this shot be able to be used on LinkedIn and Facebook? And is it the right size for this? And what if I don't know what I'm wearing? So they would want to know all the details before they even think about booking you. Percy Peacock would really love a group session. I'll tell you what, we will do a discount if you can get six girls together. We'll come down with some champagne in the morning, try on different dresses, your hair and makeup would be a lot of fun, and you get these great shots out of it that you can use everywhere. And Darling Dove, look, it's a private studio. Don't panic. It's not going to be something that's going to make you look awful. You're going to be able to use this photography wherever you want. It's very tasteful. No one needs to see it if you don't want them to. You get to choose which one you want to use. And there's a guarantee that if you don't like them, I won't charge you.
Fantastic. I mean, that just makes it so simple, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm just thinking about an owl that I used to work with. I'll rephrase that. I went from a sales rep role into a sales manager's role. And so that sort of transformed me to the social getting on with all my clients into that eagle, which is my true place to sit mostly, and, you know, getting a job done into that. Oh my gosh, I've got to make sure that everybody down the funnel has got everything that they need so that we don't make mistakes. And so I learned to do word that. I learned probably, to be owls.
You probably heard that dreaded word all the time, Janine. Now we need to just ensure that all the stakeholders are aware. And it's like, oh my goodness, let's not even go there.
No, that's it, stakeholders is good. Yeah, no, that's good. Now being clear in your message, that we've talked about that, and there's very specific messages then that you're talking about, that's the vital part, isn't it, that clarity?
Yes, absolutely. And this is another stumbling block for a lot of people is, okay, great, I've now figured out what it is I want to be known for in the marketplace. I've got my brand. How do I explain to people what it is that I do in such a way that they actually want my services? So I'm an accountant. The first thing people are going to do is, oh, no, not another accountant. How can you get around that? You know, when you're meeting people or you're trying to write that, the first words on your website or your About Us page, what words do you use to paint the right picture so that people actually want to do work with you? So I do actually have a formula, and I can share that with people if you think that'd be useful, Janine.
Okay, that would be very handy.
Awesome. So the major thing to think about, I call it the core message. It is an elevator pitch, but you can use it for more than that. Like I say, you can use it on your collateral, on your back of your business card. You can use it on your About Us page, everywhere that you've got where you try to explain what it is that you do and why someone should choose you. It's called the BEST formula, B-E-S-T.
Okay.
And if you're not driving, remember it, and or maybe listen again to this podcast to write it down once you're in front of a computer or got a pad and paper in front of you and a pen. But BEST formula, B-E-S-T, if you write it down the side of your page, and I'll give you this formula. This is the way that the human brain wants to get the information in such an order that it wants to know more, because the whole purpose of an elevator pitch is just to get people to want to know more. Mm. It's not to sell. It's not to, you know, prove to them that you can do it or anything like that. In fact, it's probably 99% about them rather than about you. So,
and that's a mistake people make all the time. They think they're going to sell from an elevator pitch.
All you want to do is open the door. Just get the door open. That's all it is. Get a foot in the door. So the BEST formula, first of all, the B stands for be clear. And it's exactly what you were saying just now, Janine. Don't use jargon. Don't try to convince people or use a million different ways or technical ways of saying things that aren't right. In fact, if you want to test your elevator pitch to see if it's okay to work or not, find a 12-year-old. Find a 12-year-old child and say, look, I'm just going to tell you what I do. And then tell me back to me what you think it is that I actually do. So if the 12-year-old can't tell you what it is that you do, it's too technical, it's too wordy, it's too long, it doesn't engage, it's not right. So a 12-year-old's ideal if you can find one. So just being really clear. I normally start my elevator pitch with, hi, I'm Lauren, I'm a personal branding specialist. Now, there's not a lot of personal branding specialists out there. So most people want to know, well, what do you do? What is that? So, and that's ideal, because it actually gets the human brain wanting to know more. But don't be too freaky with stuff. I know I went out with a boy, Lyle, years ago, and he called himself a petroleum distribution engineer. Basically, he worked at a gas station.
Yeah.
So be a little bit cautious, because the human brain does want to put you in a box. When it first meets you, it wants to just go, who am I dealing with? Do I run away? Do I stay? Do I listen? Is there something here for me? But if you can be really clear and try not to use too much jargon or things that confuse the brain, you're away. E of the BEST formula is exactly who you help. And that's exactly what you were talking about before, Janine, is not saying everyone or anyone. Mine says I work with professional service providers who want to stand out and be found. So I'm not interested in people who want to just hide away behind the desk and not turn up, not be an influencer, not create impact. I work with people who want to impact hundreds of thousands of people. They just want to get out there. They know they've got a great message. They know they've got an amazing, extraordinary service. They just need to get out there. So be really clear. I work with busy mums. I work with overwhelmed business owners. I work with depressed teenagers. Whatever it is, be really specific. Exactly who it is you help. Now, there's a reason for that. One is it's going to help their brain to figure out, well, is there something here for me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you help me? And if it's not them, it's somebody that they know.
Yeah.
So one of the best forms of marketing, as we all know, is word of mouth. So if you can be really clear on who it is you help, and there was an example of this the other day. I was on a podcast in England, and the guy said it was his grandmother who bought him his BEST client. And, you know, if your grandmother can explain to your ideal client what it is that you do and who for, then you're away.
Yeah, absolutely.
So exactly who you help and what they need and what they're going through. The S of BEST stands for solve a problem.
Yeah.
So really important that you have something in there that tells people, this is what I do. This is how I help people. So I tend to say in there, because you do deserve to be well-known, well-paid and wanted. And that's the biggest problem. That's the problem they have. They're not well-known, they're not well-paid and they're not wanted. So it solves the problem.
Yeah.
So make sure you have something in your elevator pitch that talks about the problem that you solve, because otherwise what's the point? And the T of BEST is tell them why. And one of the most powerful words in the human language, or certainly in the English language, is the word because.
Because, yeah.
And most people say, why? And you go, because. And it's interesting, isn't it? The brain stops and waits for the answer. The minute you say because, because why? Tell me why. So that sentence normally starts with because. So That's an important thing to mention in your elevator pitch. But if you can tell them why you're so passionate, why you really care, why do you really want to help people in this way, there's definitely a human engagement factor. And in reality, I know a lot of people say, look, you're in business to make money. I would disagree with that. I think you're in business to help people. And the money is a sideline to that. That comes to you because you help people. And the more people you help, the more money you get paid.
And the better that way you help them, the more money you get paid.
Absolutely. So the best formula.
That's really valuable. It's certainly, you know, makes it clear for people to what they've got to do in four simple steps.
Absolutely. So be clear exactly who you help, solve a problem and tell them why. There are some sentence starters I've got as well, and I've got another guidebook. I'm happy to send people with that if they want it, with how they can actually put that core message together. But that's the basics. That's the formula. And it's the way that the human brain wants it, in a way that by the time you should get to the end of that, their brain should be saying, so how do you do that? Can you tell me more? And that's all you want as a result.
And yeah, that's the two things, isn't it? You want them, if it's not for them, you want to be able to repeat it, to say, I've met somebody who can do that for you, if they meet someone else, or they can identify that it's exactly for them.
Absolutely.
No, that's cool. And I noticed that you had something about focusing on the three R's. Now, that's not really writing arithmetic.
It's not. And funny that, because I must admit, reading and writing and arithmetic wasn't my strong point at school. So the 3 hours of personal branding, it's a really cool way to get started. If you're really thinking, okay, so what is it that I want to be known for in the marketplace? How do I get this? The three R's are recognition, reputation, and respect. So just maybe taking some time. Personal branding isn't easy. It's something that you have to take time over. And if you are an eagle like me and you want to get out there and just make it happen, it took me 3 years, Janine, to get my personal brand right. So I took a long time but to get it right. I can do other people's brands much easier because I've got the luxury of standing on the outside looking in. But
as we all can.
Absolutely.
It's a given.
So the questions are, what do you want to be recognized for in the marketplace? If you were to go and win an award or be presented with an award or called by the media because you had a recognition factor in the marketplace as being the best at something, what would it be for? Really think about the what do you want to be recognized as the best in your industry at? And then think about the channels and maybe there are awards you can go for, or the book that you write or the marketing that you do is all about being recognized as being the expert in that industry. The second one's reputation. And of course, it's what we talked about before, that incredible power of word of mouth marketing. What do you want people to say about you when you're not in the room? That's what Jeff Bezos from Amazon says. So reputation, how do you want people to refer to you? When they do mention you to other people, what words would you like them to use to describe you? It's really important to get that nailed because you can, again, it's part of your personal brand. And the last one's respect. We have respect for people based on the fact that they're consistent. We have respect for people based on the fact that they have an authority figure in the marketplace. And one of the things that'll help you with that, yes, you can win awards and you can write books and do all these sorts of things to gain that authority factor. But the number one thing that'll gain you respect is being really laser focused on your target audience and what you do best. The worst thing for someone, I've done it before, I've met a couple of people who do this, they give me their business card and they've got one business on one side and you turn the business card over and it's got something else on the back.
I see that all the
time. You've seen that? Yeah. So that.
Oh, they've got two cards. Hang on a minute. Which business are you talking about at the time? Exactly. And they get up and pitch three different things at the same time.
Yeah. So, how does it make you feel? They're certainly jack of all trades.
Certainly not a specialist. That's
not
for sure.
A specialist and no respect. You know, I had a business card came through my letterbox a few years ago now. And it was just full of this. What this person did, they could take stuff to the rubbish dump for you. They would take people to the hospital. They'd do pickups after school for your kids. They were a taxi service. They also did. They had a jumping castle for hire. They did DJing and had a 1950s, 60s rock and roll. They did Elvis personations. They mowed lawns. It was just 24 hours a day. A cheap man in ute. Ring him up and he'd help you out. Now, what if he just decided to mow lawns dressed as Elvis, just chose to do that. How would he get respect for that. He would be in the paper. He'd have people big. I don't have a lawn and I'd pay to see that, you know. So you've got to earn respect. And the way to do that is by being niche and being consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's that consistency, isn't it? You know that you've always got that same sort of branding coming out all the time. Yeah,
yep.
And you don't switch your market. I know I've come from working in medium sized businesses and managing sales teams of 20 and things like that. And someone said to me today, who do you train? And I said, look, I can work in that industry because they were from that sort of size business. I said, I don't have a problem with that because I can train in that industry really well, but it's not who I target. And so when my message is for solopreneurs or particularly small business, women, small business owners, that's consistent for them because it's, I just not that clever. I just want to do it once,
Absolutely. Do it once and do it right.
Yeah. Because it's enough, as you said, it's enough work when you're trying to put yourself out on all the different medias to have one message, one look, one brand, one style and target one audience, let alone trying to do that across multiple audiences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So I guess the big message is before you start doing any marketing, consider your branding first.
Yeah. Yeah, how are you going to do it? And as you said originally, was that planning, isn't it? Finding your compass and your map and put the plan together. Yeah, totally agree. So that would probably be your three main takeaway points, isn't it? Find your true north.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, and be very, very clear in your message. And I love that best formula. So that is particularly, you can go, as you said, don't do it while you're driving, please. I think there's laws against that. But if you... And even when you're walking, you could be stumbling as well. So wait till you stop. But that best message is just be clear exactly who you're going to help, what problem do you solve, and tell them why you do that, because of whatever reason. I think that's the thing with now. People want to know that story behind it, don't they? They want to know that they're dealing with a real person and that when they connect with them that they've got that I'm trying to think of the word, but they are very real and that they're doing it for a particular reason and they can connect with that person as opposed to just with a business.
Absolutely. We're living in the age of the authentic brand. People want to know. They want to find out about you.
Yeah, we can Google 1,000 accountants or, 1,000 photographers as well, but we want to know why we're going to deal with that one in particular. And it's either, testimonial from somebody else that we know, but they're now saying that it's actually more influencing that somebody has got a story about them than a testimonial. So that's important as well. And then so to be clear and then to focus on those three R's of recognition, reputation and respect. And it comes down to respecting yourself too, isn't it?
Big time. The only person you have to convince that you're good enough is yourself.
Now, that's sort of exactly where you started the interview as well, isn't it? That is exactly where it was, is that respect for yourself and would you buy from you? I think that's an important factor, isn't it? If you met you and you were branding the way you're doing and pushing your marketing out there, would you buy from you? Yeah, that's I'd never thought of that before, but there we go. That's a powerful thing as well. So goodness. Okay. Now I'm going to, my phone has gone into low battery mode. That's a little test for new beginners. Recording something for an hour is to make sure that you have enough battery on your phone. But there we go. It's only just been a picture of me, but it's obviously been the interesting conversation as well. So how can people get in touch with you, Lauren?
They're welcome to have a look at my website, ultimatebusinesspropeller.com. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of stuff on there that you can get. And if they want to know more about finding your true north and how that whole compass thing works, the best core elevator pitch, and also those personality styles as well, they're all in my best-selling book called Selling You, which is available on Amazon. And you can find that through my website as well. But there's a couple of good downloads on my website just to get you started. And some guidebooks you can grab just to really get it right. That's the big thing, is avoid that waft and marketing. Spend some time getting this right, and it will pay off dividends.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. And, you know, I'm a big book person too, and I actually like hard copies of books as well as downloading stuff. I like to refer back to things and to read them. So they can actually, can they buy a hard copy of the book as well?
They can. The book page should be up on the website by the time this podcast goes out.
Excellent.
So, and I do have a limited number of copies available to send out to people. It's funny, actually, it's a guidebook. Mm-hmm. So I do get people who get hold of it. Whenever I speak, I tend to have a couple of copies with me, and they show me pages that they have highlighted or written on or corners folded, and it's perfect. It's exactly what I expected my book to be, because I want it to be something that people use. It's a tactile guidebook that you can use straight away to get your, you know, to really get your brand out there and to get started.
Yeah, that's quite funny, because my book also is very similar. There's too many similarities here, Lauren. This is just but it is
right at birth, obviously.
I know, and mine's very much the same. It's a guidebook that I want people to do exactly the same, carry it with them, and then when they're trying to figure out something within themselves and questioning how they're feeling about a particular sales concept or an idea, and it's they're feeling pushy or what's happening, then to investigate how they feel about it, and it's a resource asking questions. So that's great.
Absolutely.
So getting in touch with you is through your website, theultimatebusinesspropeller.com, and I know you had a few free tutorial and you've got some other free stuff on there as well. So we always like free stuff, and especially so much value. I mean, incredible amount of value in this interview. Anyone would be crazy not to listen to the We Are Woman podcast. I tell you, there is incredible talent, and most of it, you know, comes from Southeast Queensland. I have interviewed people from all over Australia and around the world, but every time I do this, I'm finding that most of it is local and we've got access to it.
That's such a lovely place to live. That's what it is.
Oh, absolutely. Anything else that you want to add before we finish, Lauren?
Only one thing, really. I find with most of the women that I work with, and I do work with women and men who are selling professional services, so it's about 50-50 split, actually, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. But the thing I find with women is we do tend to have it's a broad brush statement I'm going to make, so please don't sacrifice me over it, but women tend to wait until things are perfect. You know, they wait until they're perfect, or the timing's perfect, or their website's perfect. I'll just wait till I've got my book out or whatever. And the message I would give you is it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much more important that you get clear on this and you get out there with it. And test the market, and don't be too concerned with negative feedback, because that's just feedback that you can use to improve on. I think women tend to be a little bit more cautious and a little bit more concerned with what people think of them than men do, and they tend to wait till it's perfect. So my message would be, if you want to do this and do it well, don't wait till it's perfect. Just get clear on what you want to be known for in the marketplace and go out there and do it.
No, I totally agree with you with that point as well, and particularly about women waiting. And it's because we see it as a reflection of ourselves if we haven't got it perfect. But I did a webinar the other night, and it was far from perfect. Absolutely. When you forget to share your screen for an hour.
Awesome.
I thought, I'm thinking, why are people dropping off? And anyways, quite a few people stayed, and they loved what I had to say apparently, and which was very nice. And then I had two backups on my notes throughout the thing as well. And then the click here button didn't work. So, you know, it certainly was not a perfect webinar. I had 80% of the people buy. So,
awesome.
I mean, that's ridiculous figures, but it was, the thing was, you get your right audience. They're the ones that stayed. They're the ones that are interested in what you have to say. And it's great for me now. I've got a great anecdote every time I do a keynote. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have that one in. So don't worry about it. Things aren't perfect and they don't go right. It doesn't matter. And
it doesn't matter. Absolutely.
Just get started.
That's awesome. And in fact, making mistakes is one of the best ways of winning customers, because they realize you're human.
I'm very human after that one.
Awesome.
That's great. Look, I've really loved our time together. There's so much good value in that, Lauren, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the podcast when it's ready to go live again. So thank you very much for your time, and appreciate it. And don't forget, you can get in touch with Lauren by visiting the website, theultimatebusinesspropeller.com. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome, Janine. It's been an absolute blast.
No worries. And that's the end of another episode of the We Are Women podcast. You can remember to share it with your friends, because there's just, as you can see from the interview today with Lauren, there's so much great value. And I look forward to you joining me next time. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.